Shalom and welcome to Rambam Yomi. This is Rabbi Mati Novik. Join me as we learn the Rambam's Mishnah Torah, one perek each day. Today we'll be learning Hilchot Megillah, perek Aleph. Sefer Zmanim ends with the laws of the two holidays which are entirely midrabanan, Purim and Chanukah. Unlike the Bahag, the Rambam doesn't count mitzvot Rabbanan in his listing of 613, and therefore the koteret to these halachot states that there are only two rabbinic mitzvot discussed here, and therefore none which count among the 613. The two mitzvot Rabbanan referred to in the koteret are presumably the reading of the Megillah on Purim and the lighting of Neirot on the 8 nights of Chanukah. There are actually other mitzvot discussed in Hilchot Megillah v'Chanukah, like the other mitzvot of Purim aside from Mikra Megillah, and there is even another mitzvah d'Rabbanan on which we make a bracha, which is discussed at length in Perek Gimel. That's the mitzvah of reciting Hallel on Chanukah and on other Yamim Tovim. But the Rambam is not exacting in counting mitzvot d'Rabbanan like he is in counting mitzvot d'Oraita, and so he only mentions in the Koteret the two mitzvot which play a central role in the four prakim of these halachot. It's interesting to note that whereas the Rambam has Hilchot Megillah, that is, the laws of Purim, before Hilchot Chanukah, the Shulchan Aruch reverses the order. The reason is clear. The Shulchan Aruch organizes halachot in a very practical manner, and so the holidays are arranged in the order they occur in the year, starting from Rosh Hashanah and continuing through the calendar year. Since Kislev is before Adar, Hilchot Chanukah appear first. But the Rambam follows a conceptual order, which in this case coincides with the historical development of the holidays. The story of Purim dates back to the time of Tanakh, and the establishment of Purim as a holiday served as a precedent and a template for the holiday of Chanukah, which would come centuries later. Perek Aleph of Hilchot Megillah is about the mitzvah to read Megillat Esther on Purim, and most of it deals with the proper time for the performance of this mitzvah. The perek begins, however, with the source of this mitzvah and a list of those who are included in it. Halacha Aleph, Kriyat HaMegillah Bizmana, Mitzvat Asei Midivrei Sofrim, V'Hadvarim Miduim Shitakanat Nevi'im, V'Kol Chayavim B'Kriyata, Anashim V'Nashim V'Gerim V'Avadim Meshucharim, U'Mechanchin Et HaKtanim Likrota, V'Afilu Kohanim B'Avodatam Mevatlin Avodatan U'Va'in Lishmoa Mikra Megillah. V'chein mevatlin Talmud Torah l'mikra Megillah, kal v'chomer l'sha'ar ha-mitzvot shel Torah, kulan nidchin mipnei mikra Megillah, ve'ein lecha davar shenidche mikra Megillah mipanav, chutz mimet she'ein lo kovrim, sha'pogea bo kovro tchila, v'achar kach korei. The mitzvah to read the Megillah in its proper time is a mitzvat asei midrabanan, and as is well known, it was a takana established by the Nevi'im. The Gemara in Masechet Megillah lists 48 Nevi'im and 7 Nevi'ot. Mordechai is in the first list, and Esther is in the second, and as the Megillah relates, they were very instrumental in establishing the holiday of Purim, and with it, the mitzvah to read the Megillah. All are obligated in this mitzvah. Even though it is a mitzvah asei shazman grama, women are included in the mitzvah based on the principle of af hin hayu boto anes. The mitzvah commemorates a miracle of salvation, which was both experienced and facilitated by women as much as men, and therefore the mitzvah applies to women too. Children who reach the age of chinuch are also obligated, because of the mitzvah of chinuch, to read the Megillah as well. Any other mitzvah in which one is involved is set aside when the time comes to read the Megillah. This is true even of Kohanim in the Mikdash, who pause from their avoda to read the Megillah, and of those learning Torah, who go to read the Megillah when the time for this mitzvah arrives. Many Achronim ask what it means to say that learning Torah is set aside in order to read the Megillah. Isn't reading the Megillah itself a form of learning Torah? The simplest answer is that of the Aruch HaShulchan. This din of Mevatlim Talmud Torah refers not to the reading itself, but to the time and effort which may be needed to gather people together, to find a Megillah and a Baal Kori who can read it, and other preparatory stages before the Megillah is actually read. The only mitzvah which is not pushed aside by the mitzvah of reading the Megillah is the burial of a mate mitzvah, a deceased who has no one to bury him. One who encounters a mate mitzvah must bury it first, and only then go read the Megillah. There is a debate among poskim whether the priority of Mikra Megillah over a mitzvah d'oraita applies even if there will be no opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah d'oraita afterwards. The Rama rules that Megillah does not take priority in this case, as a mitzvah d'oraita is never sacrificed completely for the sake of a mitzvah d'rabbanan. But the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Maharshal, the Bach, and the Gra, who all believe that the element of Pirsumei Nisa, publicizing the miracle of Purim, which we'll see is a central element of Mikra Megillah, is strong enough to override completely even a mitzvah d'oraita. Halacha bet. Echad ha-korei ve-echad ha-shomem min ha-korei, yatza yidei chovato, v'hu shi-yishma mimishu chayav v'kriyata, l'fichach im haya korei katan o shote, ha-shomem mimenu lo yatza. The mitzvah is to read the Megillah, but one who hears it read by someone else is yotze, based on the principle of shomea ka'one, as we've seen in other mitzvot like Kiddush on Friday night. But shomea ka'one only applies when one hears the Megillah from someone who is obligated to read it, and therefore, one who hears the Megillah from a child or from a shote isn't yotze. Note that the Rambam doesn't say that a man who hears Megillah from a woman isn't yotze, and this makes perfect sense, because women are obligated in the mitzvah, as we saw in Halacha Aleph. But other Rishonim accept the opinion of the Bahag, that women are not obligated in Megillah in exactly the same way men are. Whereas men are obligated to read the Megillah, women are only obligated to hear it. Therefore, when a man hears the Megillah from a woman, we cannot apply Shomea Ka'one to conclude that he fulfills his obligation to read the Megillah. The Shulchan Aruch accepts the opinion of the Rambam, but brings the view of the Bahag as a Yesh Omrim. The Rama accepts the Bahag, and adds that therefore, a woman reading for herself or for other women should make the bracha of Lishmoa Megillah rather than Al Mikra Megillah, as a man says. For a full treatment of the status of women in the mitzvah of Megillah, the listener is referred to the website www.deracheha.org. Also missing from the Rambam's list at the end of the halacha is the cheresh, a deaf person, who usually has the same exemption from mitzvot as the katan and shote. The reason is simple. The cheresh who is generally exempt from mitzvot is one who cannot hear or speak, but someone reading the Megillah is obviously capable of speaking. However, the Shulchan Aruch rules that any cheresh, even one who can speak, is exempt from the mitzvah of reading the Megillah, because Pirsumei Nisa dictates that one must hear the Megillah in addition to reading it. And since he isn't chayiv, for the Shulchan Aruch, a cheresh can't be motzi someone else by reading for him. The Kesef Mishnah writes that he had this girsa in the Rambam as well, but he rejects it as incorrect, based on a Gemara in Masechet Megillah, which seems to conclude the opposite. Several Acharonim quoted by the Mishnah Berurah also disagree with the Shulchan Aruch, and believe that a Cheresh who is capable of reading the Megillah can be motzi others, despite his inability to hear his own reading. Halacha Gimel. Mitzvah likrot et kula, u'mitzvah likrotah balayla uvayom, v'chol halayla kasher likriyat halayla, v'chol hayom kasher likriyat hayom. ומברך קודם קריאתה בלילה שלוש ברכות. ברוך אתה השם אלוקינו מלך העולם, אשר קשרנו מצווה וציוונו על מקרא מגילה. ברוך אתה השם אלוקינו מלך העולם, שעשה ניסים לאבותינו בימים ההם בזמן הזה. ברוך אתה השם אלוקינו מלך העולם, שהחיינו וקיימנו והגיענו לזמן הזה. וביום אינו חוזר ומברך שהחיינו. ומקום שנהגו לברך אחריה, לברך. ברוך אתה השם אלוקינו מלך העולם, הקל הרב את ריבנו, והדן את עינינו, והנוקם את נקמתנו, הנפרע לנו מצרינו, והמשלם גמור לכל לבי נפשנו. ברוך אתה השם, הקל הנפרע לעמו ישראל מכל צריהם, הקל המושיע. The mitzvah is to read the entire Megillah. Therefore, according to most poskim, someone who misses even one word entirely, listening or reading, is not yotzei the mitzvah. We'll discuss in the next perek what one must do if he doesn't hear one or more words of the Megillah. Unlike other mitzvot associated with special days, which one must do either during the day, like shofar and lulav, or at night, like Neror Chanukah and Kiddush on Shabbat, Megillah is unique in that it must be read both at night and during the day. Any time during the night is valid for the nighttime reading, and any time during the day is valid for the daytime reading. But as with all mitzvot which must be done during a certain time, the preference, according to all poskim, is to read as soon as possible at night, from Tzeit HaKochavim, and as soon as possible during the day, after Kriyat HaTorah in Shacharit. Three brachot are recited when the Megillah is read at night. The Birkat HaMitzvah of Asher Kesham Mitzvah Sivanu Al Mikra Megillah, the bracha of Sha'asa Nisim Lavoteinu, unique to the holidays of Purim and Chanukah, and finally Shechiyanu, on the performance of a mitzvah which only comes up on rare occasions. The Rambam writes that we don't repeat Shechiyanu when the Megillah is read the second time, during the day. However, the opinion of Tosfot and other Rishoni Ashkenaz is that Shehecheyanu is repeated then. The reason they give for the seemingly strange practice is that the main part of the mitzvah is the daytime reading, as this has an element of Pirsumei Nisa, which is absent at night. So Shehecheyanu is recited at night on the base level mitzvah of reading the Megillah, and again before reading during the day on the added component of Pirsumei Nisa. The Shulchan Aruch accepts the view of the Rambam, and this is Sephardi practice. The Rama accepts the opinion of the Rishoni Ashkenaz, and therefore Ashkenazim repeat Shehecheyanu at the daytime reading. The Rambam quotes a bracha to be recited after the reading of the Megillah, Haravit Rivenu, but he says that this practice depends on local custom. The Shulchan Aruch rules that the universal custom nowadays is to recite this bracha. As with any mitzvah, all brachot associated with Megillah are not ma'akvim, and even if one reads the Megillah without any brachot at all, he is yotzei the mitzvah. Halacha Dalet. Eze hu zman kriyata. Zmanim harbe tiknula, shnemar bizmanehem. Ve'elu hein zmanei kriyata. Kol medina shaita mukefet choma bimei Yoshua bin Nun, bein ba'aretz, bein chutz la'aretz, af api she'en la'achshav choma, korin b'chamisha asar la'adar. Umedina zo hi anikret krach. וכל מדינה שלא הייתה מוקפת חומה במות יהושע, אף על פי שהיא מוקפת עתה, קוראים ב-14, ומדינה זו היא הנקראת עיר. When is the proper time, meaning the correct day, to read the Megillah? The pasuk of Bizmanehem in the Megillah implies that multiple times were established for this mitzvah. And the Rambam begins with the main two, the 15th of Adar, for any city, in Eretz Yisrael or in Chutz La'aretz, which was walled at the time of Yehoshua ben Nun, and the 14th of Adar everywhere else. The first type of city is called a krach, and the second type is called an ir. Halacha hei, Shushan habira, af al pi shelo hayta mukefet, choma bimei Yehoshua, korin b'chamisha asar, sheba haya hanes, shnemar, v'noach b'chamisha asar bo. ולמה תלו הדבר בימי יהושע? כדי לחלוק כבוד לארץ ישראל, שהייתה חריבה באותו הזמן, כדי שיהיו קוראים כבני שושן, ויחשבו כאילו הן כרכים מוקפים. אף על פי שהם עתה חריבים, הועיל והיו מוקפים בימי יהושע, ויש זיכרון לארץ ישראל בנס זה. This halacha explains where the two days of the mitzvah come from. The Megillah describes how in each place within the kingdom of Ahasuerus, there was a battle between the Jews and their enemies, and the mitzvah of reading the Megillah was made to commemorate the day after the battle ended, when the victorious Jews were able to rest. In most places, the battle ended on the 13th, and so the mitzvah to read Megillah was enacted on the 14th. In Shushan, the capital, the battle continued until the 14th, and so the mitzvah is to read the Megillah on the 15th. Because Shushan was a walled city at the time, the date of the mitzvah in general was made the 15th for walled cities, and the 14th for unwalled cities. But in order to show honor to Eretz Yisrael, which at the time of the miracle of Purim lay in ruins, the status of a city as walled or unwalled depends not on the time of the miracle of Purim, nor on each individual year when the Megillah is read, but rather on the time of Yehoshua ben Nun, when Bnei Yisrael first entered Eretz Yisrael. In this way, whenever the mitzvah of reading the Megillah is performed, the date of the mitzvah in each location brings to mind Eretz Yisrael and thereby shows honor to Eretz Yisrael. The one exception is Shushan itself. Even though it wasn't walled at the time of Yehoshua, the Megillah is read there on the 15th, because there was an actual battle there which ended on the previous day. Halacha Vav. B'nei ha-kfarim she'inan mitkabtsin bevatei knesiyot, ela b'shni v'chamishi, tiknu lehen shiyu makdimin v'koreen b'yom ha-knisa. Ketzad, im chal yom 14 liot b'shni v'chamishi, koreen bo b'yom. V'im chal liot b'yom acher, chutz m'shni v'chamishi, makdimin v'koreen b'shni v'chamishi, asamuch l'arba'asar. Aside from the krach in the ear, there is a third type of locale called a kfar, or village. They were unwalled at the time of Yehoshua, and should therefore read on the 14th. But Chazal gave them permission to read earlier, on the closest Monday or Thursday before or coinciding with the 14th. This day is referred to in the Mishnah as Yom Knisa, a day of assembly, and there are different opinions among Rishonim as to what exactly this term means. The Rambam understands that the Bnei Kfarim didn't gather every day in a Beit Knesset for Tefillah B'Tzibur, perhaps because each Kfar was very sparsely populated, or because they had to leave too early for work. Rather, they did so only on Mondays and Thursdays in order to hear Kriyat HaTorah. So based on the drasha we mentioned earlier of Bizmanehem, Chazal considered the timing of Mikra Megillah to be flexible and allowed the B'nai Kfarim to read the Megillah up to 3 days early, in the extreme case that Yud Dalet Adar comes out on Sunday, and so the closest Yom Knisa before that is Thursday, Yud Aleph Adar. The end of Halacha Zayin gives an important limitation on the reading of these B'nai Ayarot. V'chol elu shemakdimin v'korin kodem arba asar, ein korin ota b'fachot me'asara. When the Megillah is read before Yud Dalet Adar by the B'nai HaKfarim, it can only be read with a minion of 10, unlike on Yud Dalet and Tetvav, when it may be read even by an individual for himself and or any number of others. This makes perfect sense in light of what we just said. The entire reason for the special permission to read early is because the Yom Knisa is when people gather in the Beit Knesset. If someone is reading without a minion anyway, then why not just wait until the 14th? There is a machloket in the Gemara and among Rishonim about how we rule the halacha, whether there is a strong preference for Megillah to be read with a minion even on Yud Dalet and Tetvav, as part of the general requirement of Pirsumei Nisa. The Rambam mentions nothing about this, but the Ravid in a Hasaga here writes that one must always try his best to hear the Megillah with a minion, and only if this is impossible may he read without one. The Shulchan Aruch accepts this opinion, and the Rama adds that it may be, yesh listapek, that even women count as part of the ten, because this isn't the usual din of tzibur, which is limited to men, but rather a part of Pirsumei Nisa, so anyone obligated in the mitzvah of Megillah may be able to count towards the minimum of 10 people. We note in passing the comment of the Magid Mishnah that, of course, everyone is in agreement that hearing the Megillah with a minion is better than without, based on the general principle of Berov Am Hadrat Melech. The Ravid's opinion is that there is a stronger preference on this, and one must make every effort possible to join a minion for Mikra Megillah. Halacha Chet adds a few details about the classification of Ir and Kfar. If the people of a Kfar don't gather in the Beit Knesset even on Mondays and Thursdays, then they have no permission to read early and must wait until the 14th. If a regular city, an ir, doesn't have 10 batlanim, meaning people who don't work and who are always available to engage in communal needs, including joining a minyan, then they are considered a kfar, because without 10 batlanim, there is no guarantee of a minyan, except on Mondays and Thursdays. If a place is so small that there isn't even a minyan of residents at all, then here too there is no heter to read early, and they must read on the 14th. The Ravid disagrees about the last point, and considers such a small locale to be a kfar, who may read on Yom Knisa. How can they read early with no minyan? The Ravid presumably believes, like many Rishonim, that Yom Knisa doesn't mean that the B'nai Kfarim would gather that day in their own Batei Knesset, but rather they would gather in the Batei Knesset of the bigger cities for Kriyat HaTorah. For this understanding, it makes sense that even a place of population less than 10 can count as a kfar and have permission to read early. In Halacha Tet, the Rambam clarifies that nowadays no one reads before the 14th. B'medivrim amurim shemakdimim v'korin b'yom haknisa bizman sheyesh lehem l'Yisrael malchut. Aval bazman hazeh ein korin ota ela bizmana shu yom arba'asar v'yom chamishasar. B'nei kfarim uv'nei ayarot korin b'arba'asar uv'nei krakin korin b'chamishasar. The special dispensation to read on the Yom HaKnisa is limited to a time when Bnei Israel have a king, who is able, as the Rambam explains in his Perush HaMishnayot, to enforce the laws and ensure that everyone reads the Megillah at the proper time for that location. Without a central authority like a king, a multitude of dates for Kriyat HaMegillah creates confusion and increases the likelihood that some places, intentionally or through negligence, will simply miss out altogether on reading the Megillah. Therefore, nowadays we return to the original, simpler formula. Krachim read on the 15th, and all unwalled cities, Ayarot and Kfarim, read on the 14th. Halacha Yud. Ben Ir shalach lakrach, uben krach shalach la'ir, im hayta dato lachzor demkomo bizman kriya, v'nitakev lo chazar, korei kimkomo. V'im lo haya bedato lachzor, ela achar zman kriya, korei im anshei makom shehu sham. This halacha discusses the complex case of a person from one type of city, an ir or a krach, who travels to a city of the other type. There are many different variables which Rishonim bring up in evaluating this question, and many different variations of cases, but we will focus on understanding the terse and slightly cryptic psak of the Rambam. He writes that if a resident of either type of city goes to the other, if his intent was to return home bazman hakriya, at the time of reading, then he reads at the same time as his home, even if he ended up not returning until later. But if he only intended to go home after zman kriya, then he is considered for Purim purposes to be a resident of the place he is visiting, and he reads at the same time as them. The term for this in the Gemara is paruz ben yomo and a mukaf ben yomo, someone halachically considered a resident of an unwalled or a walled city for the single day of Purim. The simplest understanding of the Rambam is advanced by the Magid Mishnah and the Kesef Mishnah. The term zman kriya refers to the time of reading in the place he is visiting, though it still isn't clear if this means the daytime reading or even the nighttime reading. So, if a ben krach travels to an ir, planning to return to his krach before the reading of the Megillah on the 14th, then he reads on the 15th, even if he tarried in the ir longer than expected and was there when the local residents read on the 14th. And if a ben ir travels to a krach, planning to return to his ir before the reading of the Megillah on the 15th, then he reads on the 14th, even if he ends up staying in the krach through the 15th. But the last part is somewhat problematic. The words nit'akev velo chazar don't seem to apply to the ben ir who goes to the krach intending to return before the 15th, as he reads well before he gets delayed and stays longer. So other poskim read the Rambam as agreeing with the opinion of the Rush, that zman kriya refers in both cases to the morning of the 14th. Wherever he intends to be at the beginning of that morning determines his status regarding Purim. If he intended to get back to his home before that point, then he has the status of a resident of his home, even if he ended up staying into the day of the 14th. So the ben ir visiting a krach, who intended to get home by the morning of the 14th and was then delayed, would have to read on the 14th even though no one else in the krach is doing so, based on his original intent to be back in his ir by the morning of the 14th. The Shulchan Aruch simply quotes the Rambam and therefore adds no further clarity to his psak. And the listener is encouraged to learn the Mishnah Brura and other Nosei Kelim on Siman Taf Resh Peichet Sif Hei, who discuss the different cases which can arise and the various opinions regarding each one. Continuing in Halacha Yud, Ukrach v'kol ha-samuchlo v'kol ha-nire'imo im ein benihen yater al-alpay mama harezi kichrach v'korein b'chamishasar. Not only does a walled city itself have the din of a krach, but so does any ir or kfar which is adjacent to it, samuch, or which can be seen with it, nire', meaning that the krach can be seen from the ir or kfar. The Rambam adds that the condition that the distance between the krach and this other ir or kfar is no more than 2,000 amot, but it is unclear if this condition refers only to samuch or even to nir'eh. The Mishnah Brura quotes a machlok d'man poskim on this point. The nafkamina between the two opinions is vast, as there are many places from which one can see Yerushalayim even though it is more than 2,000 amot away. According to the opinion that any nir'e is considered a krach, even at a distance of more than 2,000 amot, these places would be obligated to read the Megillah on the 15th. Based on the suffix about how to define nir'e, many such places have the same practice as that of cities whose Megillah reading day is in doubt, which the Rambam elaborates upon in Halacha Yud Aleph. Ir shehi safek ve'en yadua im hayta mukefet choma b'mot Yoshua binun o achar ken hukfa korin b'shnei hayamim shehin arba'asar v'chamishasar uvelelehen umvarchin al kriyata b'arba'asar bilvad ho'il v'hu zman kriya l'rov ha'olam. If it is unknown whether a certain city had a wall at the time of Yoshua, then the residents of that city read the Megillah on both the 14th and 15th, including both nights. However, they only make brachot on the readings of the 14th, because that is the day when most of the world reads. The Gemara records that Tveria has the status of Suffolk, and the practice described here is indeed what is done in Tveria. Other cities which some post can add to this list of places which should read on both days, Yudalad with a bracha and Tetvav without, include Chevron and the adjacent Kiryat Arba, Akko, Yafo, Lod, and Tzfat. In practice, there are many customs in this matter, and each place follows its local custom. Halacha Yud Bet. Karu et ha-Megillah ba'adar v'achar kach ibru beitin et ha-shana, chozrin v'korin ota ba'adar ha-sheni bizmana. In a shana me'uberet, the correct month to celebrate Purim is Adar Sheni, in order to juxtapose the salvation of Purim to that of Pesach. Even if Beit Din only made the year Me'uberet after the Megillah was already read in the first Adar, it is read again at its proper time in the second Adar. Halacha Yud Gimel. Ein korinat ha-megillah b'shabbat. Gzera shema yitol ota b'yado v'yelech etzal mishu baki likrot v'avirana arba mod b'rishut harabim. Sh'akol chayvin b'kriyata v'en akol bekin b'kriyata. Lefichach, im chal zman kriyata b'shabbat, makdimin v'korin ota kodam ha-shabbat. V'sholin v'dorshin b'yelchot purim b'ota shabbat kedin l'azkir shu purim. Just as we saw regarding shofar and lulav, Chazal made a gzera against reading the Megillah on Shabbat, lest one carry it four amot in the Rishut HaRabim. Since everyone needs to read the Megillah, but not everyone knows how, there is a strong concern that a person will carry his Megillah to an expert who can either read for him or teach him how to read. Therefore, if Purim comes out on Shabbat, the Megillah is read on Friday, the previous day. And the way we recall that Shabbat is actually the date of Purim is by learning and discussing the halachot of Purim on that day. Here there arises an interesting question. We saw earlier that when the B'nai Kfarim would read the Megillah early on the Yom Knisa, this can only be done with a minyan. In contrast, Kriyat HaMegillah at its proper time can be done, at least b'diavad, without a minyan. What is the status of the reading of the Megillah on Friday, a day early, when the proper day to read comes out on Shabbat? Is this considered Kriyat HaMegillah Kodem Zmano, like that of the Bnei Kfarim, and therefore can only be done with a minyan? Or perhaps because everyone must read early who lives in that type of city, due to the gzeira against reading on Shabbat, this is considered Kriya Bizmano, and one is Yotze even without a minyan? The Mishnah Berurah is machmir, to require a minyan in this case even bidyeved. One who cannot read with a minyan must read without any brachot. But many other poskim disagree, and allow the Megillah to be read in this case with brachot even without a minyan, and the Chazon Ish believes that this is the opinion of the Rambam as well. Halacha Yudalit. Ketzad, Yom Arba'asar Shachal Yot B'Shabbat, B'nei Ayarot Makdimin V'Korin B'Erev Shabbat, U'V'nei Krachin Korin Bizmanam B'Chal B'Shabbat. Chal Yom Chamishasar Yot B'Shabbat, B'nei Krachin Makdimin V'Korin B'Erev Shabbat, Shu Yom Arba'asar, U'V'nei Ayarot Korin Bo B'Yom, Shu Zmanam, V'Nimtzu Kol Korin Ba'Arba'asar. Specifically, if the 14th comes out on Shabbat, then Ayarot and Kfarim read the previous day, Friday the 13th of Adar, and Krachim read at their usual time, the 15th, Sunday. In our current calendar, this can never happen. But the second case in this halacha can happen in our calendar, and that is when the 15th of Adar comes out on Shabbat. In this case, everyone reads the Megillah on Friday, the 14th. The Shulchan Aruch writes that Matanot Levyonim are collected and distributed on Friday the 14th of Adar as well, and we'll see why when we learn about Matanot Levyonim in the next parak. On Shabbat the 15th, not only do we learn the Halachot of Purim, as the Rambam wrote earlier, we say Ala Nisim in each Amidah and in Birkat HaMazon, and we read as Maftir the portion which is usually Kriyat HaTorah on Purim, namely Vayavo Amalek in Parshat Beshalach. Finally, the Seuda Purim, together with the mitzvah Mishloach Manot, are performed only on Sunday. Hence the name Purim Mishulash, Triple Purim, for this situation when the day of reading the Megillah comes out on Shabbat. Thank you for joining me in learning today's parak of the Mishnah Torah. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas you'd like to share, I'd be happy to hear from you. Send me an email at mtorahyomi@gmail.com. That's M as in Mishnah, Torah, T-O-R-A-H, Yomi, Y-O-M-I, @gmail.com. Come back tomorrow as we continue with our next parak.